Hey, it's Ash. Today's episode of Eat, Talk, Repeat is sponsored by Sam and Ash Injury Law. If you've been injured in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or visit samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right.
All right. Wow. Okay. All right, we're back.
Eat, Talk, Repeat
on the air, on the podcast air.
I just hope I'm recording.
God, well,
if I'm not, I'm never gonna hear the end of it. It's gonna vindicate Sam.
Yeah, our fearless leader is not here today. Okay,
well, John, happy Friday.
Do we have a lot to talk about.
Oh my gosh, welcome to another episode, Eat, Talk, Repeat. We've got John. Do you have a great name that requires a thesaurus for yourself? Or
I was thinking Cranky Connoisseur today.
Okay, I like it.
You know, Cantankerous Connoisseur. Grumpy Gastronome.
You can't use them all. Just pick one.
Cranky Connoisseur.
Okay, we're going Cranky Connoisseur today. Yeah, and I'm Ash Watkins. I'm literally just an attorney, and I'm here to press buttons on this show when Sam's not here.
And the
Principessa
of Prime.
Oh, of Prime. Yes, I love it. So welcome back. Like, follow, subscribe to the show. Please leave us a review. It helps other people find us. And then you can also send us feedback on our social platforms at Eat, Talk, Repeat, and send us emails. We get a lot of listener comments and questions. The email address is cheers@eattalkrepeat.com. And I think that's all the business.
I think we're doing something right because I can see a slow uptick, you know, slow and steady uptick of people responding about the pod, you know, on my Twitter platform and on Instagram. And we're getting more listener letters, which we love. I guess they come in the form of emails. But when's the last time you got a stamped letter in the mail than your office?
I get creeped out if I get real mail at this point. Although I get Christmas cards. I like Christmas cards.
Yeah.
If it's not Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is great, though, for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get excited and you can line them all up in the house. And we always display them in a big and all over our living room or our kitchen counter. And they're just great. I mean, all the pictures of everybody. Of course, I haven't sent out Christmas cards in 20 years. But I love getting the ones I get. Yours. Yes, thank you. All right, let's get the food. Come on, we have got Eat, Talk, Repeat is the name. Let's talk about where we've been eating.
So we're going to go over private clubs.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a fun one. I haven't really gone anywhere new. I've been in Newport.
What?
And I know, I've been working.
What do I pay you for?
I know, I've been working.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know.
Pay anything, do I?
Up my salary and then we can talk. Right. You've been to some fun spaces. Other Mama, Harlow, Life's a Bagel, Samba Latte. Okay.
Back to Cafe Brege again.
Ooh.
Let me just throw them a shout out just to buy groceries because they are, I think, the only like French gourmet shop in Las Vegas. I mean, there's other shops that have, you know, retail shops that have some French gourmet provisions like beautiful cheese and pâtés and terrines de foie gras. And what else did I get? Some really, really expensive olive oil from Provence.
Oh.
And some croissant.
Croissant?
I couldn't believe that.
I think if we croissant. Start merch, it's got to have a little croissant on it, and it's going to say croissant.
And, of course, I think they have the best baguettes in town. And I am more convinced than ever that we need to bring in somehow – get like five or six of the best French bakeries in town to get some morning. We need to record this. We usually record these, like, you know, mid late afternoon, but some morning have everybody bring several of these things and just blind taste test like six of the best French boulangerie croissants in town.
You know who wanted to kind of work on organizing this? Hmm. Chef Trees.
That would be cool.
So we could go in. Sit at a table and just we all have to go to one place.
Right, one place.
In the morning and show up.
And it has to be in the morning.
It does.
It really has to be. These things are only good, you know, within an hour out of the oven. So we have to just get them all there first thing in the morning when they're fresh. And I don't know, organizing it would be kind of a logistical issue, but I've got a wife with nothing else to do. So let's put the food gal on this. Okay.
Ooh. Food gal has just been nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Okay, that's it. All right. So anyway, Café Brej, for all your French grocery needs. I mean, they have the little pâté de fruits, which are these little fruit chunks that they do, that they always serve as the pétifors in great French restaurants. He's made lots of different Breton cookies, butter. I mean, we went there, I think we dropped a couple $100 on just some really, and we've some Boudon Blanc sausages. They have some other, some French sausages. It's just a place to go. So it's basically a cafe and a restaurant and a patisserie, but then they have this little section where they have some really fine baked French food. So that's Café Brej on South, where is it, Alexandra? South Twain?
Twain and Fort Apache.
Fort Apache.
So
and
eat
Twain.
In, take out.
Eat in, take out.
There
and,
you go.
And it's a full service restaurant now. So Pierre Gattel and Monique Gattel run it and got big fans of Café Brej.
All right. There you go. That's kind of like food news, I guess.
Food
we'll
news.
Add
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on. Congrats to our man, our aroma guy, Steve Kessler.
Aroma.
He's moving on to the finals in the James Beard Awards.
He's the only one. I mean, we had about four nominees, I believe.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think there were four, and I can't rattle them off the top of my head right now. But he made it through. Kind of amazing.
Kind of.
I mean, he's been talked up a lot by us. I mean,
By me
on my website. Maybe it's because everyone's glued to eatinglv.com.
Yes.
Let's hope that's the case. But and I know he's a foodie favorite. But he hasn't got nearly the publicity that some guy like James Trees or Nicole Brisson has or Gina Marinelli out at La Strega. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of surprising to me that he's the fellow who made it through all the way to the finals of the James Beard. So I'm totally jazzed for Steve. It's a great little restaurant. It's in a challenging location, but I'm just hoping this puts him over the top and really helps his business take off.
Well, I told you the last time Mr. Hollywood and I were there. It was like right after the James Beard nominees came out. Yeah. And when we sat down, a group came in and they said, we're here because of the James Beard nominees. Yeah. So,
all right.
Look, I think this is fabulous. We're huge fans. John, you got to go back. He's got a new menu.
I know he's got a new menu. I mean, everything
it's
I had.
Incredible.
Remember, we ate everything there and I loved it all.
I know.
And I've even talked to him, said, Steve, I got to get there. But it's, you know, I'm a fat, lazy old man now.
I mean,
give me convenience or give me death. I mean, the idea of driving, like, I ran into Jonathan Jossel, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Jonathan Jossel at
the Plaza.
For the Plaza Hotel. And we started griping, and Jonathan's at least 25 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
And he was like griping to me, like, I kept saying, you should go here. And he goes, oh, I don't want to go there. That's miles from my house. I don't want to go there. That's miles. Same way I feel. I mean, it's like there's so much great food now within a mile or two of downtown Las Vegas. It just seems kind of a shame to just have a butthole out, you know, 15 or 12 miles away from where I live.
That's all I keep thinking is like, yeah, but how do I get them to me? Like,
yeah,
how do
yeah.
we move
yeah, yeah.
them to the Arts District?
That's, like, that's what Jonathan said to me. Yeah. I was talking about Rainbow Kitchen, and he goes, well, do they DoorDash? I went, what the hell?
Oh,
I don't know,
DoorDash
Jonathan.
Sucks.
Yeah,
give
I
that
know.
Up.
I know. Well, anyway, I'm not alone in being so lazy. I felt good about talking to Jonathan. Okay, so that's props to Steve, but now we have kind of
I know.
Bad news.
And it's because of your laziness. I blame you and your laziness.
For Forte's Tapas closing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all me. It's all me. I did go 5 years between visits, although in its early days, a decade ago, I probably was there a dozen times in a couple years.
Yeah, yeah, Forte Tapas sadly closed after 15 years in Las Vegas and huge
yeah.
fans.
Yeah, I mean, and owner. What did owner Nina Manchev said? It's been hard to keep up. Everything, food prices are going up, up,
yep.
up. It's just hard to keep up financially. You know, I know they make a lot of money on their caviar. Or
mm-hmm.
They do wholesale caviar, the
yeah.
Bulgarian stuff that they send to the best restaurants in town. But I always found that the restaurant, I loved it. But it never seemed to hold its footing. It had different chefs come and go. The menu sort of stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of felt like the restaurant never took off and became a staple of that area the way it should have been.
Yeah, I agree.
But it lasted 15 mm-hmm. years. But it's and it also did a type of food that nobody else does.
I mean,
Bulgarian, Russian,
Eastern
European food is hard to find, especially at that level. They did nice pizzas there. They had great caviar at good prices.
Their caviar pizza.
Yeah. So that's it's kind of sad for Forte. And Nina's a great gal, so I'm sad to hear that. Now, but on better news, that 70s bar silver stamp, which I say reminds me of my grandmother's basement in 1975.
I always say it reminds me of like an American Legion or some.
Yeah
I go, when I walked in here, I go, this place is brand new, but it feels like an American Legion that's been here for 20, 30 plus years.
The only way it lacks authenticity is it doesn't smell like 39 years of cigarette
ashes.
Yes,
exactly.
Okay. Like, that have been ground into the shag carpet.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they stopped allowing smoking 15 years ago, but you will still leave the bar smelling like it.
Yeah, you can sniff it when you go in and it gets on your clothes.
So it's the best of both worlds. I love Silver Stamp.
Yeah.
I know you're a fan.
Yeah, it's a big fan. Lakin's a big fan.
Lakin's a fan.
I mean, she's passed out there more than once, I understand.
I don't think so. As your representative, I'm not going to allow that to go on air.
Well, it's the only bar, it's the only beer bar in Las Vegas that makes me wish I drank more beer.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not a brew pub. They just, but they bring in the best of the best German, Dutch, Eastern European beers, Belgian ales. I mean, English ambers. I mean, it's just a great place.
And the other fun fact is they don't have a TV. So they're not, it's not a sports bar. You're not going in there to watch sports. You're going in to socialize and mingle and like enjoy the company, the beers, the drinks, the chips, the pickles, the bar eggs,
and the fake pickled eggs. What do they call them?
They're bar eggs.
Well, no, they do this the vegan pickled egg. Have you had
that? Oh no,
the vegan pickled egg. He puts it in front of you. It looks like a boiled egg, and it looks ivory white, smooth, and everything. You bite into it, and it's a pickled potato. Yeah, it's great.
I have to go try that.
Yeah. It's just a.
Oh, it's probably like one of those new potatoes, but like just so vinegared.
Yeah, it's kind of waxy, exactly like that. But they've cooked it so it's really, really soft and you bite into it and it's delicious. And boy, does it go down well with some beer.
Oh my gosh,
or a great Pilsner or IPA.
My fun story about Silver Stamp is I was reading about it for the longest time. I was like, I got to go. I want to try this place. And so a girl in our office wanted to meet me and go out and get drinks. And I said, okay, we're going to meet and go to this bar. And she's like, and I was like, I've never been, but I want to go. So it's kind of in the heart of COVID, but it was open.
Yeah.
It and so I get an Uber. It's dark out. The Uber pulls up and I go, well, yeah, this is the address. And he's like, there's no sign on the wall. Yeah. And so I was like, okay. He's like, well, go run up, open the door, because I don't feel comfortable leaving you in this part of town. So I had to like go open the door, peek in, look around, and then give my Uber driver a thumbs up.
You expected a guy named Q-Tip to come in and offer you some fentanyl.
Basically,
you know?
Basically, yeah. And so that was fun, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah, Silver Stamp is great. So, and it won the best dive bar from who?
Vegas Dive named Best Mom and Pop Shop. Let's see.
Where's that from? Everybody gets an award these days, but I can't keep up.
It's a magazine in partnership with Yelp, some magazine.
Well, good for them. Hey, any publicity is good, as long as they spell your name right. So good for Silver Stamp. Love it.
Oh, okay. Entrepreneur Magazine voted them America's Best Mom and Pop Shop.
All right. Well, congrats to Rose.
Yeah.
And Andrew. Rose and Andrew, who run the place. We love them. Okay. Sad to see it go. Not really.
No.
Innovative Area 15. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Lost Spirits Distillery at Area 15.
Yeah.
They're out.
You know, oh my. The world mourns because a distillery goes out of business.
I think it was like more like a circus act, but.
Whatever the hell it was. Who gives a crap? Anyway.
Good news for the neighborhood. A new deli opened.
a new district deli and coffee where the former Braeswood was?
Yes.
Yes, and we were supposed to go last week, and my wife, the food gal, wouldn't let me out of the car.
Is that true?
She's so cruel to me. I'm an abused husband.
Liar. She's calling liar. But yes.
Yes, we need to go, food gal. Come on. Do not deprive me of my essential pleasures. Okay.
All right.
Well, there's also, as long as we're talking Japanese ideas, the Ginza.
Yeah,
Japanese
Bar Ginza.
Bar. And, you know, I'm not into whiskey or Japanese whiskey.
I love it.
But I guess we got to go.
We're going to go. And we're going to the District Deli because it just opened. I love delis. So it's doing breakfast, doing some classic deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches. Their specialty sandwiches, though, have a special little asterisk. They're all proudly served on bread from Manzu Italian Oven and Bar.
Well, I'll be darned. I'll be Manzu'd. Okay.
I'm excited about
okay,
that.
Okay, so I kind of read this wrong. So the deli is just District Deli and coffee.
Correct.
It's not Japanese themed.
Nope.
The Ginza Whiskey Bar is Japanese
yep.
themed. I'll get it right. I can read a script with the best of them. I learned English gooder in school. Okay, so serving on Manzu bread, gotta love that. Bar Ginza open, 1301 South Main Street. Gotta go, even if you're not. I mean, I'm more into Japanese whiskey than I am into tequila. Okay,
really?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, don't get me started on that. That could be a pet peeve of the week. Does the world
need tequila?
Yeah. Does the world need 2,000 brands of tequila? No.
Okay.
And there's too much tequila. There's too much tequila. I mean, I don't know. It used to be kind of cool, and now it's fucking George Clooney selling his brand for $1 million because, you know, George Clooney needs the money. You know, the guy, who else? How's he going to pay his electric bill? Okay. So anyway, enough of that. San Diego Pizzeria, Mr. Moto expanding to Southwest Las Vegas. Like, I could care for that, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe I should.
Panino named a best new woman-owned establishment by, I think, Yelp.
Who cares who owns a place?
I know.
I don't care. Woman, man, transgender, a guy who calls herself a girl calls herself a guy.
I know.
You know,
it's
girl
difficult
used
now.
To be a guy who's now a girl again. You know, do I care what their gender is? No. I just want it to be good.
And it is. Panino's great.
All right. Panino is fantastic.
Yep.
That's why I don't. That's why I love it, but I don't care the sex of the owner. And that's that.
okay. Bullshit private club applications. The Artifice Bar is no more, and it is being replaced by a private club called the Doberman Room, I think.
The Doberman Room by
Doherty.
Ryan Doherty. It's one of his little don't get me started about Ryan Doherty and his bars, you know, with this faux exclusivity they're always pushing out there.
I applied.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, I have
God,
to.
You're such a fucking,
I just want to go in.
So
I want to see it. I want to see it.
You're such a trend whore.
Hey, I might be. I like to know what the trends are. I like to be able to talk about it, and then I can decide if I want to partake.
Well, read the application and what your answers were.
Oh, I don't know. This is the funny part. I kind of did it a little flippantly, so I might not be even invited in because,
Well, let's run through some of the questions.
Okay, some of the questions they ask you beyond basic bio data is, what do you do for work? And if applicable, what would you rather be doing? I think I said I'm a lawyer and I'd rather be slinging pizzas.
Good.
For a living.
Okay.
What drives you helping others enjoy life? And
what drives me?
Crystal
meth.
is that what you run on these days?
you think I get this energy naturally?
I know.
Okay.
That's what Vesta serves over there.
Okay. All right. What else?
Greatest accomplishment in life.
Getting out of bed every morning?
Yeah.
And you know that's
yes.
true.
Yes. Have you ever been in love? If so, how are you sure? Are you afraid of death? Why or why not? If you could have a drink at the Doberman with anyone, dead or alive, famous or unknown, who would it be and why?
And of course you said Jesus Christ, right?
No. I actually said
Socrates? Let me guess. Let me guess. You, Socrates.
This is actually
Jesus
my
Christ.
Like one normal answer, I think.
Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner. I'm pulling it right out of my ass here. Okay, who else could it be for you?
It was just my grandfather.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sentimental and sweet.
Yeah, I know. I've got a sentimental bone.
You?
Back off.
So unlike you.
I know. I had a weak moment.
Okay. Well, that's very nice.
You wake up in hell. What song is playing?
Anything by Journey. What's yours?
I forgot what I put.
Oh, well, just make one up right now. Pull it out of your...
Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
There you go. You know the song I could listen to for the rest of time? Hidden Pleasure coming up. Alert coming up.
Uh-oh.
Mbop by Hanson.
I love that song.
Isn't that the greatest song?
Such a good song.
It's fantastic.
My gosh.
In the shower, it's catchy. The kids are great. The video was great. Once you get it in your head, you sing it for days. I love it.
Lakin just messaged me. I wake up in hell. What song is playing? It's the ETR intro music. That is actually the best answer ever.
Facts.
Lakin wins.
Lakin wins today.
I will know I'm there. What book should everyone read?
The Quran.
The Quran. No. What conspiracy theory do you secretly believe in?
No, I got it. But most books, let me think. I mean, I'm just trying to think of interesting answers. Mein Kampf?
Atlas Shrugged.
I think Mein Kampf would get you kicked off the island.
Yeah, you're out. Okay. I'm trying to at least get my foot in the door, John.
Okay, what was the next
one? I said Atlas Shrugged for that. A conspiracy theory you secretly believe in. Do you have one? I've got one.
No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Not even at all? Like a little?
Except in like 1972, I was convinced that Cindy Ridge was cheating on me with this guy who lived down the street. And her girlfriends were hiding it from me. Okay, and I think they had a conspiracy for that. But that was 1972.
So mine is, I think Paul McCartney died. And we've got a fake Paul.
What the?
Speechless. He's speechless. I think I won. I'll send you the link to the YouTube video. Paul, you will watch it.
You actually believe the Paul is dead stuff?
Oh, yeah. Have you heard all of the the storylines and the headlines and that line up?
Well, I lived through that bullshit the first time. Why would I want to go back?
Go back. You're wiser now.
Okay.
What's your worst habit?
Oh. That I can talk about on the air?
That you're a hypocrite about your food preferences?
My worst habit. My worst habit is that I have no schedule. That I'm too, I'm just too off the cuff all the time.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
I mean, every day is an adventure. Every hour is, boy, drives the food gal crazy. I mean, let's do this now. Let's do that. I don't like the plan. I like to do it. It's an habitual thing I do, which drives her nuts. It's just, where do you want to go eat? Oh, Ash wants to go out to eat tomorrow night. I don't know if I want to go out to eat with Ash tomorrow night. I'll decide.
At
4:55 tomorrow night whether I want to go out to eat with you.
That explains it.
Everything's too immediate with me. Immediate gratification. That's my worst habit.
That's deep.
Okay, what's yours?
I'm a procrastinator to the max.
Again,
you give me a deadline, I am going to squeak in. I love deadlines. I'll get it done. I've never missed one. But I just love to put myself in an unnecessary time crunch.
That explains getting out of bed being so difficult.
It is. Yes. But like this morning, I had to go to court. This morning, I had a court. I had a court appearance. I had to be somewhere at 8:30 sharp, 5:30, popped right up. I knew I had to go. I had a deadline.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go one or two more then.
Okay, what hill are you dying on? Are you willing to die on? Mine is that Britney Spears belonged in a conservatorship. I will die on that hill.
Well, I have to agree. I mean, she's a little drug-addled. Yeah. You know,
so I'm anti-free Britney movement. And that was very controversial.
Yeah, it was. Oh, my God. We were down in L.A. during the height of that. And there were free Britney logos and murals on walls that people had to have spent like days constructing.
Yep.
I mean, it was, you're kidding me? Somebody that stupid and that messed up by drugs is so in need of, don't get me started. When it starts about celebrity love is something I can't, I've never understood. You know, the more someone's famous, the less I'm inclined to want to like or respect them. True.
Ooh,
that's true.
It's good to know.
So never get too famous.
I know. Take notes, Rocky. Take notes.
Okay.
And then the fun thing is at the end, they make you upload a photo, a recent photo.
Of course they do, because you've got to be good looking to get in the club.
I know. Okay, I sent a photo of Rocky.
Okay. So you're a slave to fashion. Ash Watkins is following the herd, trying to get into the
Doberman. Whoa. I'm not following. I'm leading the herd to the slaughter. Hey, the Masters, you're a golf fan.
Oh, yeah, big golf fan.
The Masters is starting next week.
Or what I like to call the tournament of the in the land of the rich white people.
Yes.
Okay. You know. Nobody gives them shit anymore about this, but 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was a big controversial thing. And now all of that is just in the era of Me Too and DEI and all the different Black Lives Matter and whatever.
Equality, inclusivity,
all
of
this. And somehow, because the Masters has gotten so big, it gets a pass for being just the ground zero for rich white people and privilege that it's been now for about 90 years.
Well, I think people see a menu with a $1.50 sandwich and they're like, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're slinging food for $1.50, do whatever you want.
Yeah, and then what would you sent that to me? What would I order off that?
Yeah.
Of course the pimento cheese and the barbecue.
Yes.
Of course.
So my family, ever since COVID, when they weren't allowed to have spectators, the Masters started developing like gift packages so you can bring the Masters food home. So my mom orders this food kit where she gets a big tub of the egg salad, a big tub of the pimento cheese, a big tub of the pork barbecue, and then some cookies and chips. And they give you all this like great swag. They give you the napkins. They give you little plastic cups, little food flags.
I would actually order that because
damn white privilege.
I'm white. I might as well feel privileged for
Sunday
afternoon.
It's so cool. You just kind of graze and eat it all while you're watching the Masters. It's fun.
I did not know this. Okay. Well.
What else do we got?
Anyway, yeah, country clubs and golf. It's funny how golf has now become mainstream. So it's suddenly not the controversial thing it used to be.
Everything's cyclical.
Yeah.
Like cigars are kind of coming back and all these lounges. So.
You know what's going out of favor? And I read a big industry article today. Wine. People don't drink wine anymore. Apparently wine is on the skids in Europe and in America. In 1980.
Expensive. That's why.
Let's talk about it in about 30 seconds. In 1980, 50% of French people drank wine every day. Guess what the percentage is now in 2024?
12.
Close. 10.
Damn.
10. It's 40% less over like 40 years. And people just aren't drinking wine. And that's funny. You say, why do you say expense? Because I couldn't agree more.
I think a lot of people associate wine with like status and they think it's expensive and it's a luxury good and that they don't understand it. And if they don't understand it, they don't want to spend money on it. And that's how I was for the longest time. I was like, my parents didn't know anything about wine. We never drank wine. So why am I going to go out and spend $20 to enjoy with my homemade meal? And then I started kind of learning about it, realizing you can actually get some really great cheap wines. And I think that's it. I think people are lazy. Instant gratification generation.
Well, cheap. Well, it's okay. I agree, but I'm going to just a corollary to that. I think what's happened is as food has gone mainstream, food and restaurants and wine, there has created this. A bigger market for it. You know, now all kinds of people want to go to the pizza shops and the taco trucks and the fancy restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they all want to get into wine. And I think the wine makers and the wine distributors in Europe and America sort of have been riding this wave for like the last 30 years and fueled by the baby boomers. You know, but we're all aging out of wine because we either have big cellars that we're now drinking up. We're not buying cases of wine like we may have done 20 years ago. And we're drinking less and we're just getting older and we're not buying as much. But cognizant of that fact, for 30 years, the wine industry has just had this almost stratospheric climb in prices of what it charges for its better wines.
Yeah.
And it's created this huge rift that sort of reinforces what you say about it being expensive. You now have cheap wine, the plonk that people just get drunk on, and then wines that were expensive 20 years ago are now mega expensive.
Yep.
And I just got back from Napa Valley where we went to Joseph Phelps Insignia, which is a trophy wine, a very well-regarded wine. Back in the day, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you'd pay $100 for a bottle. Now those bottles are $600, okay, because they can get it from the trophy hunters. But that schism has caused, like, The middle market,
yep,
to sort of blanch at this and go, well, I don't want to drink, I don't understand it or have the coin to spend $500 or $200 on a bottle of wine, and I don't want to buy plonk, so I'm just going to go have a beer.
Yeah, I don't have the coin to get the brand name, the luxury wine, good. I don't know enough to manage the mainstream middle ground of the 30, 25, 15 to know what's actually good.
Like 20 to 50. Yeah.
And I don't want to drink trash.
Right.
$2 Chuck, no thank you. So you're right. Go to a beer.
Go to a beer, mixed drinks, whatever. Yeah, and it's turning, and younger people aren't getting into it and it's suffering. So anyway.
So you know what the wine industry needs to do?
What?
Start making awards for themselves.
No, they need to give out more awards, like the Silver State Awards.
I know.
You know,
look at that.
Look at the 35th annual Silver State Awards, which, oh my God, look at all these people.
It's funny, 35th, I didn't even know about them last year and the year before the year before. Yeah, yeah. This is the first year they're kind of like hitting my news feed.
Yeah, well, here they are. I mean, this is just people giving themselves awards, okay? I mean, I said before we started the air, let's just give ourselves an award. I mean, we're the best podcast, right?
We should.
Award-winning podcast. I mean, Billboard lawyers have been doing it in Vegas now for 30 years.
Yes.
Award-winning personal injury lawyer. By
and
who?
It's like
your mother?
Yeah, it's like my mom voted me.
My grandma gave me best lawyer in Las Vegas last week. Okay. I'm not going to trash
them. Are you going to run through some of them?
Well, I mean, I'm just ones like, I mean, look, I love Honey Salt.
It's this is funny. James Beard finalist, Steve Kessler.
Right.
Chef.
Yeah.
The Silver State Awards gives best chef to
Kim Cantinwala, who has been in and out of town now for about 25 years. I don't know if he's even at the stoves anymore. All of these awards just smack of an inside job of people just patting themselves on the back. I mean, Honey Salt, which is Kim's restaurant, is a very good restaurant. It's been around a long time, but it may have been the best when it opened like 17, 18 years ago, but I mean, it's not in the same league as some places around town now. And I mean, so it's just, that's kind of weird, but I mean, I'm not going to begrudge them that. Brezza gets best fine dining restaurant. I'm the biggest Brezza fan in Las Vegas. I'm friends with Nicole Brisson. I love Brezza. It's not in the best top fine dining restaurant in Las Vegas. It's maybe the top Italian steakhouse in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And one of the top five Italian restaurants in Vegas, but I wouldn't give it top fine dining. And then best new restaurant, Cathedral Restaurant.
Ooh.
That piece of trash.
Womp,
that
womp.
That rehash of a rehash in the fucking Aria Hotel with a one size fits all menu of, I mean, my God, where I asked for the crepe Suzettes and the guy comes over and literally takes 5 seconds, puts a pre-made crepe in some butter and puts it on my table and goes, hey, crepe Suzettes. Yeah, ooh, look at us. I did it tableside. Woo. And all these Tao people. I mean, it's a Tao group restaurant.
Yeah, it's a Tao club.
Who would give a goddamn award to Tao group?
Best Casino, Resorts World.
No way. Yeah,
that's no just way.
Dumb. You know, I mean, I don't know. When there's my best plumber on here. I have a good plumber. It's got to be that. I mean,
best podcast, CityCast Vegas.
Can't argue with that.
Can't argue.
They're good.
It could have been us.
Yeah, but they've been around a little longer, and they're making a splash. So that's the one I'll give them right there. I don't want to trash anybody else. Best publication, print online, Vegas Magazine. You know why? Because they probably give us our advertising for free. So that's enough of that malarkey.
Okay, let's go to listener comments.
Okay. Want to take a break first? Let's take a quick break.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's see if I know how to do this. Do, do, do.
There you go.
Hey, it's Ash, your favorite host of the show. I just know it. Look, besides exploring the Las Vegas food scene, my life's passion is being an injury attorney. So if you or a loved one needs dedicated and passionate legal representation, call Sam and Ash Injury Law. I promise our team will fight for your recovery even more than Sam does to get a word in during this podcast. Again, if you or a loved one needs an injury attorney or simply has legal questions, call 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com. That's 702-820-1234 or samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Now back to the food, because let's face it, that's what we're all really here for.
And we're back. Am I on?
Unfortunately.
Oh, now you sound like Sam. Do you think Sam listens to the show when he's not on it?
No, I don't even think he listens when he is on it.
His ego is so big, you know. He's got too many things to do. We're just minions to him.
I might have mixed up the soundtracks, but who cares? If that's my only flaw today, it's a win. That's
okay. Let's go to listener comments. We love our listeners, and we love their comments and questions.
Emmett's Vegas listened, and they want us. They go, we hope to you choose to visit us at the restaurant so we can change your minds with an unforgettable experience. That's fun. They're at least listening.
Okay.
Someone else saw your post about the burger, and they said, but have you had the French dip at Bavette's? And I have.
I came this close. I got my fingers like, this close to ordering it. But somebody whose initials are Sam Marajowski said, no, we got to order 4 goddamn hamburgers at one time. Okay.
Yeah, the French dip is fabulous. I've had it, so I can vouch for that. Now we got some questions. Someone reached out to you, John, and said, which restaurant is worth leaving the strip for? Anima
by Ito, Basilico,
Anima.
Esther's Kitchen, Aroma Latin American Cocina.
Yep.
I think it's definitely true. Kabuto.
Yes.
Kabuto.
Agreed.
I would go with Izakaya Go also down on we can get to some really interesting ones on the strip because I do think the Asian – this is a great question. I think he's looking for bigger hitter restaurants, but – if you're going to eat Asian food, there is no reason to eat it on the Las Vegas Strip.
Because it's funny. I had a friend out of town, chef, restaurant owner from Southern California, reached out and he said, hey, I need a sushi spot on the Strip. And I said, can you venture like a mile off? And he was like, I mean, yeah, if it's close. And so I sent him to Izakaya Go. And he went and he loved it. He said, this is incredible. Tops my favorite space in Southern California.
I mean,
so
it is great. And here's a little curveball. I mean, a small one, but you have to like Vietnamese food. But Yen Viet Kitchen is great. Okay. Soul Belly Barbecue downtown. Yeah. I mean, there are certain styles of food and certain types of food that are just better off the strip.
You do. You have to go off.
I would not have said that 15 years ago, maybe not even 10 years ago. But now I can think of dozens of better restaurants that are, if you're willing to travel 2, 3, 4, 8 miles off the strip, you're going to get better food.
Okay. I agree. From Vince on Instagram, if you had one last meal, what would it be and where would you go? Let's make it Vegas. One last meal in Vegas. Okay, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to go to Cipriani. I'm going to get a Diavola pizza. I'm going to get their gorgonzola gnocchi and one of their steaks. And I am going to live a great, great last evening because I just love that combination.
I'd go to Guy Savoie. And I would ask the food gal how much money is left in our bank accounts.
And you'd
because by that time
drink the wine.
And I would say I would go to Guy Savoie. I'd get that, you know, that wine list that weighs like 15 pounds, put it on that stand they give you with it, and I would I would just go nuts on that wine list and ask them to start cooking at 7 o'clock and finish around midnight. Yeah, that would be my last meal. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Elliot went to Milpa, very hole in the wall. Tacos were excellent. Wish the tortillas were slightly stronger to not break. I agree.
Yeah, you had that criticism.
Service was phenomenal, and the guy there was beyond kind. Place was busy. We'll definitely go back. So there you go.
There you go. Okay, I'm glad you're pointing up how full of beans Ash Watkins is there. Grant, Elliot, thank you very much.
I'm not.
You didn't like Milpa.
I know, but
I think
my service
great.
Was nice.
All right, okay. All right.
Whatever. Anyway, we're not going to rehash it. I'm going to go back to Milpo one of these days.
You go to Milpo, I'll go back to Aroma, okay? Because I
that's
really
not fair.
We might go to Aroma tonight, actually. I think the food gallery might go there tonight.
That's
yes.
mean.
Yes, I think it's in our future right
okay,
now.
Okay, there you go.
She smiled when I said it, so I think I can get her there.
From Grant, he said, I'm listening in the car driving my wife back from Bouchon, and we hear John Curtis blathering on and on about croissants.
Stop. I wasn't blathering. I was bloviating. Big difference, Grant.
Yeah, you might have been blathering that day. About the croissant at Café Brèche. They said, we take your John's advice as near gospel when it comes to anything from bagels to oysters to dim sum, but we're convinced he knows nothing about croissants.
Croissant.
So then the next morning, I pick one up from Café Brèche, and she almost instantly said it's easily top three with Bouchon and Four Seasons and could possibly be the best. So apologies. John definitely knows his French pastry cooking. So there you go.
Julien, mes amis.
Cupcake Girly. You can read this one.
I really base my tips off my experience and the effort that is made to make it exceptional. $2 if I'm paying with a 20, $5 if it's poured fast.
And strong.
Okay. It's poured fast and strong with eagerness to serve food. And Congo, what's your take? Okay, let me read this again. This is... I really base my tips off
tipping
off the experience and the effort that is made to make it exceptional. $2 if I'm paying with a 20, $5 if it's poured fast and strong with eagerness to serve food and Congo. What's your take?
I think $2 for $20 is
a little cheap. I don't understand $5 if it's poured fast and strong.
She's tipping for a heavier pour on the alcohol.
Oh, okay.
You know,
we're talking
more
drinking
yeah,
here.
More,
okay.
It's like a bar.
Okay, this is bar tips. Okay, so in other words, $2, five and four fast and strong, you serve food. You know, I think $2 a drink is pretty much standard. But, I mean, if you've got the Jack in your wallet, what you do with the bartender is so I've even been known to lay down $10 or $20 in the bar before he starts with the drinks, okay?
Ooh.
Right up front and say, which is truly to ensure promptitude and give them a tip right up front, even five, or even as they first serve the drinks, let's say two beers at Silver Stamp, give them a five, have five laying there and go, for you, you know, just it's a tip right off the bat. That's the way to get good service in a bar, okay?
Hey, tip first.
Tip up front, exactly.
It's funny because we kind of all grouse about tipping up front at coffee shops.
Yeah, but not if it's voluntary. I think they embarrass you into feeling it's mandatory, and that's what people rebel at.
Okay. I agree. Don't tell me what to do. Yeah, my life's motto.
And don't try to shame me into leaving money until it's my decision. It's one thing. So okay, I haven't gone through my restaurants real quick. Yes.
Go for it.
I might go real quick. Two things I want to talk about. Shout out to Sambalate. The OG of artisanal coffee bars in this
Where
town.
Is that?
It's at the Tivoli Village area. Okay. What's it called? But there, and this is why the food gal is in the studio. What's it called?
Fort Apache in Charleston.
Fort Apache in Charleston, right in that shopping center. The name is Boca Park. Boca Park,
okay,
thank you very much.
Okay, there we go.
So they do their roasting. Luis is the owner. He was the first guy 11 years ago to start bringing in really fine artisanal coffee beans, roasting them on premises. And he really created the market for this that has since been filled in with dozens of great coffee bars from Mothership to Vesta to Bungalow all over town. True Brew. I mean, you know.
Public Us. And now the District
Public
Cafe.
Us, Desert Wind Coffee on the west side. Yeah. There's lots of them. But it all started with OG. I went there. They have nice baked goods, really fine coffee. I mean, some of the best you find in town. And they have a new one out on South Rainbow, I believe, as well. Ooh. So they have so shout out to Sambalate. Went back to Life's a Bagel just to have the Bialy.
Ooh.
Because remember,
you
and
so
Sam, you sneered at me. Because you know, we're not boiled. They're always just baked. And, you know, and then, of course, the gal on CityCast said, oh, and I mean, she's a card-carrying New Yorker. And she said, no, they're never baked. They are boiled. They're always just baked.
Yeah.
Well, Life's a Bagel, run by really true Jewish people, they boil theirs before they make their bialys.
Wow.
I knew I'd had them somewhere before, so I ordered it just to make sure. And it's very good.
But you're getting trolled online for being a fake bialy.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that I invented the recipe. I'm just saying that I've had them not just there where they are. They do make them with bagel dough.
Okay.
And then they put the melted onions in the middle. I'm not saying this is the authentic recipe, but some Jewish delis do serve them that way. That's all. Okay. Went to Other Mama, which
Ooh.
I was way overdue to get to because big fan of Other Mama when it opened, again, I think 11 years ago. And hadn't seen Dan Cromer since pre-COVID. I was a big fan back
in the day.
And they
just did their expansion, right?
It's gorgeous, huge, beautiful bar that seats about a dozen people, and then they have seating there. I mean, he's really dressed the place up. It was a real DIY place when he opened it back, you know, a decade ago. And it has a much slicker feel, but I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, comfortable. The chairs are more comfortable. There's a big sushi bar now. There was a guest sushi chef there from Southern California the other night. We did sort of a semi-omakase meal, but it was a lot of just pick-and-choose sushi. Beautiful fish. I always say, I mean, Japanese restaurants and Other Mama are about the only seafood I trust off the strip because Dan Cromer knows his seafood, and it was wonderful. It was every bit as good as any fish I have had at Kabuto or Yui Sushi or Izakaya Go. It was gorgeous stuff.
They have one of my favorite menu items ever.
What?
The French toast caviar.
Oh, yeah.
It is good. Yeah. Ugh, yeah. I got to get back there.
And he also does $3 oysters, and they do great sauces on their oysters.
Yep.
And so it's the best oyster deal in town also. And finally, I went to Harlow. Okay.
Grumble.
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe we should have Sam. Sam went the night after I did.
I mean, he probably loved it.
Yeah, so we should have a three-way duel on this one.
Okay.
Because now I'm going to straight up front, I have eaten many a meal for free at Harlow. Okay, I know the management, and they've been very generous to me. So you can take that as tainting my opinion. But for a classy, comfortable, just top-shelf steakhouse 12 miles from the Las Vegas Strip, it's hard to beat this place. I mean, the wine list is great. They serve me this Brunello di Montalcino with they have these crazy carafes they serve their wine in. Kester is the sommelier. Ivo is the general manager. It's like a local hangout. It's very pricey. Not going to kid you. Even if I don't pay, I recognize that it's very pricey. But it's a chef-driven steakhouse. And on that level, I think it works very, very well. And the meat's very good. I mean, I had a Chateaubriand there. He makes tableside with the brandy sauce. I mean, and, you know, everything's flame tableside. I mean, this is steaks like you can't get off the strip anywhere in Las Vegas until Harlow opened up.
It's funny. We heard a lot about Harlow right when it opened, all the PR, everyone was going. I kind of haven't heard about it until you just went. So.
Yeah. Well, I was overdue to go there, and Other Mama knocked them out in the same week, and I'm glad I did. I mean, you can argue with me about the pricing because it's precious. I mean, you don't have to order a $100 steak.
They're literally just bringing strip pricing and steaks to Summerlin.
Right.
They go, look, all these Summerlin people really will pay strip prices. They just don't want to deal with the traffic and all the BS of getting there. And so we'll just bring it to them.
It's a smart move economically.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a smart business move. So, and, you know, I love the atmosphere there, too. I mean, I'm not a big downtown Summerlin guy, but, I mean, you don't feel like you're in a shopping mall on the outskirts of Las Vegas. You feel like you're just in this cozy big city steakhouse. That's what I like about it. So that, Other Mama's Seafood, Harlow for steaks. It was a busy week. Now let's go to pet peeves of the week.
Let's go to pet peeves.
Let's wrap this up. You first.
My micro peeves.
Micro peeve of the week with Ash Watkins.
Yes. Cold butter. I think I started to talk about this like a few weeks ago.
You've been talking to the food gal, haven't you?
Always. The
food
gal.
She can't stand cold butter.
There is nothing worse than cold butter.
You know, okay, let me see. war, genocide,
nope,
childhood diseases. Okay. Nope, cold butter. Yep. Okay.
Clubbing baby seals. Nope, cold butter. All right. It's a culinary faux pas of the highest order.
It is. It is. And for a good restaurant to do it, it's inexcusable.
I think it's one of the reasons I love Monzu so much. Not only is their bread incredible, but it comes with their olive oil and this like ricotta fluffiness. Right. Yeah. And you don't even need a knife. Yeah. But cold butter.
Esther's Kitchen does really nice butter too.
Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah. That in the summer you'll watch it turn from solid to liquid.
Yeah, yeah. You see the oil separate out of it. And there's some restaurants, I'm not going to criticize any, but there's a few places I like which I think serve substandard butter, not necessarily cold.
What?
And I'm not going to get into it right now. But
I know Cipriani, they serve it in the foil packets. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
But it's an olive oil. It's an olive oil menu. I mean, it's a
but
base
still.
Menu. Yeah,
the little tin foil packet butter.
Yeah, just throw it in.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Like there's some roadside diner somewhere.
The reason I hate it is I'm a pancake fan. And if you have to spread, takes too long to melt, and it'll shred the surface of the beautiful.
Exactly.
No. So
we better get off this subject right now.
Okay. What's yours?
Well, mine, and we were talking about this right as we went on the air. It's these blowtorches, this torching of food that imparts this kerosene taste to food, and food as sensitive as raw fish sometimes.
I know.
And desserts and sweets and meringues. And you can see them back there blowtorching it. And then your food tastes like fucking gasoline.
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to smell kerosene when I'm eating.
I know.
And somehow this got popular, a few years ago?
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere. You see them with the torches and I know. Stop it. Stop it, chefs. You're not impressing anybody, and it ruins the flavor. And don't tell me it doesn't. There have been a couple places I like, and I don't want to name names right now, where I've literally wanted to say, turn the food around and hand it to the chef. Taste this. I can taste the kerosene on the surface of the food. And they do it with bread, too, sometimes, too. Some bread.
I agree.
It's inexcusable. And all these chefs who should know better, they're doing it because they think it looks cool. It's great for the gram. It's great for you stupid-ass millennials who get impressed by anything. Okay.
Ricochet shots over here.
Enough with the flamethrowers on the food.
It's everyone's secret pyro side. All these chefs, they want to play with fire a little. I have a sushi chef friend, and he would do that. He would take his little blowtorch to certain pieces, and I told him no. I was like, I don't like the taste of the blowtorch.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird fad that needs to stop. All right. Well, that's it. Well, the only thing we can do now is start insulting Sam for a while. So maybe we should call it a quits.
I don't know if we have enough time today for that. So on that note, it's been fun.
It's been fun. Bon appetit to all. And good night, Canada.
Hey, it's Ash, your favorite amateur and unpaid food critic. Have we influenced you to try any of our recommendations? If so, we want to hear about it. Be sure to follow us on social media and tag us at EatTalkRepeat. You can also email us at cheers@eattalkrepeat.com. Send us your hate mail, suggestions, questions, recommendations, and pet peeves. We want to hear about it. Don't forget, like, subscribe, and leave the show a review. Bon appetit.